Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. And we're back with another Notes to Self segment. Woohoo! We're throwing it back to 2017 again. This is February 28th, 2017, and my Notes to Self says this. It's great to do things or want to do things to make someone proud of you, but at the end of the day, that person may still want or expect something from you. What's most important is making yourself proud. So figure out what you want to do, feel what makes you happy, and go after what makes you proud. I love this, and I think this is a really, really great notes to self to be reflecting on at the beginning of 2020. I think that what I was going through in 2017, from what I remember, is that there was a lot of confusion around my identity in both my personal and professional life. So I was definitely spending a lot of time, even through college, like even though I remember being more independent in college and not necessarily living by, you know, the day-to-day parent helicopter, like I have to do this, this, and this to please mommy and daddy. Like I was still super sheltered in college. At the end of the day, it was still a very sheltered environment. And so a lot of what I was going through, even through college, was this constant need of making my mom proud of me. And so for those of you who have been following along on my Twitter page and listened to previous Notes to Self and just, you know, other episodes just in general, I have been very open talking about how I grew up in a family where my mom has narcissistic personality disorder and what that means and how that affected me growing up. And so, you know, especially having developed at a very early age severe anxiety, and because of that anxiety, I developed obsessive compulsive disorder as a way to essentially deal and cope and best manage the anxiety. I was constantly striving for perfection and was obsessed with making my mom proud, whatever that meant. I mean, there were times where I wanted to, you know, look the part and act the part. So this boiled down to what I was wearing, the types of friends that I had, what I was watching on TV, and even to the point of like thinking the types of thoughts that I thought would make her proud. Like, I cringe when I think about how I used to completely crucify myself for like thinking the quote unquote wrong thing. I remember that, you know, I was wearing a purity ring and was trying really hard to like wait till marriage, because obviously back then too, it was a lot of like the religious guilt, you know, you can't have sex before you're married, you can't do this, 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 and this. And there was just this long ass list of like the things that you can and can't do. And it really did get to a point where I was overwhelmed and stressed out all the time. So if I even thought about like kissing a boy, or like, God forbid, having thoughts about like kissing girls or anything like that, it was outside of this box, outside of the line that my mom drew around me, saying like, okay, this is what I'm expecting of you. This is the type of person that I want you to become. This is the type of daughter that I hope that you will be. And again, whether or not she was consciously thinking these things, or whether or not she was consciously acting in this way or teaching me these things in this way, at this point doesn't matter, because what has been done has been done. Obviously now at 28, almost 29, I can look back and understand things a lot more, and understanding how narcissistic personality disorder has run through my mother's bloodline, because, you know, my uncle who took his life also had that. we're all pretty sure that my grandfather does as well. So, like, it is definitely a learned thing. So, you know, here we are, 2020, and I'm reading this message, and I'm like, okay, I am really happy to share that in 2020, I do feel proud of myself, and there are things that I'm doing to be proud, and it's not to make my mom proud. It is now, well, what does Lizzie want? What makes Lizzie happy? What makes Lizzie feel a sense of pride? And that's really empowering. So there's two parts of this. One is that I want to show firsthand how this type of reprogramming does not happen overnight. You can't just tell someone, like, get over it, think happier thoughts, like, you'll be fine. If you don't know how to reprogram your thoughts and how to deprogram the thoughts that were given to you at childhood, it's impossible to, well, not impossible, nothing is impossible, but it's much more challenging to, you know, think positive, happy thoughts and to forget about it, because there was a trauma. There was a very specific incident or series of incidents that basically taught you how to think. And what needs to happen first and foremost is, like, the deprogramming of what was given to you and the reprogramming of your way of thinking. And so this message was in February of 2017. It has literally been 18, 19, 20, like basically three full years as we're coming into this episode, not to the date, but, you know, it's basically going to be, you know, almost February by the time that this episode airs. And so it doesn't happen overnight. These changes, these evolutions do not happen overnight. It has taken lots of time, lots of, well, the following steps I'm going to share with you. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that it's going to also take a lot of practice and being patient with yourself. So it takes time and it takes practice and just totally loving yourself in the process. Because I know for me, when I don't get results, like, you know, I was a finance major in college, when I don't see an ROI, return on your investment, whether it's an actual investment of, like, money or it's an emotional investment, the amount of time that you're spending on reading, you know, about how to better manage your anxiety or how to, you know, better manage your intrusive thoughts, like, whatever it is that you are going through, that, again, like, is something that doesn't happen overnight, and it's something that will take practice, but you have to be patient with yourself. So I really wanted to take this notes to self and split it into two how-to lists, if you will. The first is overcoming doubt, which, as I've talked about in other episodes, for me personally, and for those of you who also suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder, it is literally something that stems from lack of confidence and lack of trust in yourself. Like, it basically is a doubtful mental illness, and there are so many things that are all about, you know, overcoming doubt. So I really want to take some time to talk about that first. And then the second part is in alignment with my notes to self about making yourself proud. I personally feel that I won't be able to talk about how to make yourself proud without first talking about how to overcome doubt. And so I have three simple in the sense that, like, it's just, like, quick and easy things to just touch upon about overcoming doubt, and then three about making yourself proud. So the first thing about overcoming doubt, as I said before, reframing your way of thinking. So how do we turn doubtful, self-limiting, you know, all of these thoughts into a more motivation, positive, uplifting kind of, you know, way of thinking? I think that reframing our way of thinking, again, comes down to putting lots of time and energy into figuring out what was first programmed in you to begin with. So for me, there's so many different thoughts that my mom had as I was growing up. Like, you know, in order to attract a mate. You know, she literally told me, like, have them fall in love with you first and then show them who you really are. And so what that told me as a young person is don't express yourself. Don't show someone who you really are when deep down I am a very vulnerable person. I'm a very open book person. And to have been programmed into thinking, don't be vulnerable with people, that took a toll on me because for several years I thought that people were out to get me. I thought that my friends were not going to truly like love and accept me for who I am because I was afraid to even show them that part of me to begin with. And so to reframe that way of thinking, I had to really figure out, okay, well, what was the initial programming and what is true about me? What is my true essence? Who am I? And that's a really heavy loaded question to ask yourself. It's not something that, you know, can even come easy to people. I just spent a lot of time asking myself that question over and over and over again. And so a lot of the things that was programmed into me from a very early age was coming to light because I kept asking myself that over and over and over again. Well, what do I really like? Who am I really? What makes me happy? You know, what types of people do I want to hang out with? For God's sakes, like, what do I really want to wear? You know, like, for such a long time, as I said, it was wear this, do this, eat this, don't think this or think this. And it just, you know, it takes a toll. So that's a way that I personally have started, you know, reframing my way of thinking. And so now when I think back to myself, or even if I do catch myself in one of these, you know, very doubtful, limiting beliefs of like, oh, I can't open myself up to people because they're not going to understand who I really am, or they're not going to accept who I really am. What I've been doing to reframe that thought is I am a, you know, amazing friend. I am a wonderful girlfriend. I, you know, and I'm basically telling myself all of these things that I know to be true about myself and things that I love about myself. And I'm reframing, turning those doubtful thoughts into more certainty. Like, I'm giving myself the certainty and the clarity, which then motivates me to overcome these doubts. Because I noticed that a lot of my rumination and a lot of the intrusive thoughts come from a doubt that was either, again, given to me as a young child, or stuff that I learned as you get older. And, you know, you learn how to survive and you learn how to protect yourself. And so for me, since vulnerability is really part of my essence, part of my true self, I really believe in the power of vulnerability and being able to get to a place with people where you can just open yourself up, talk about, you know, things that you like, things that you're scared of, and you make connections that way. It's really incredible to see how receptive people are when you are vulnerable, and just seeing that power of vulnerability is incredible. And so when I tell myself, okay, well, I'm not sure, should I be open with this person? Should I not be open with this person? I reframe my way of thinking and I'm like, I love being open with people. I believe in the power of vulnerability. And so slowly and surely I am building this as like, it's almost like a mental habit. And through the repetition, it's like, you know, if you see, for example, ants, right, that travel from one tree to the next tree, or from one piece of land to the next piece of land, it's unbelievable to see how they all follow one another to the point where they go through the same path back and forth so many times that the land where they leave their footprints really is indented, because they're going through it over and over and over again. And the more that I'm understanding the brain and how we think and how, you know, the mind works, we can literally learn and teach ourselves to unplug things that were once plugged in and rewire it to be plugged in somewhere else. And then once we take that train of thought and continuously go back and forth over it, you're making that line deeper and deeper, which if you think about like the lines in your brain, like that's literally what you're doing. You're creating this reframe of thinking. The second way to overcome doubt is to remember past successes. So this is a really big one, and I'm still practicing this every single day, which I, you know, I'm going to continue practicing this, obviously. The moments where I feel defeated, especially when there's a really big, you know, life transition, or, you know, I've done a lot of like freelance jobs, I've worked at a lot of companies. And so one thing that has not been necessarily a constant for me past, let's say, 2.5 years has been a specific job. And in transition between jobs, in transition between freelance gigs, there is a moment of time, which is a very human moment of time. So, you know, be forgiving and loving towards yourself that if you are going through a major life transition, like you're getting married, you're moving, you're in a new relationship, you just found a new friend, like whatever it is that's a big deal, like a new change, something new in your life, you're going to feel doubtful. Did I make the right decision? Am I with the right person? Am I at the right job? Is this apartment going to be what I'm looking for? Did I make the right choice? And so rather than sitting there just ruminating and asking yourself that question over and over again, like, did I make the right choice? Did I make the right decision? Instead of doing that, let's ask ourselves, what decisions have we made in the past that have led to happiness? I don't even want to use the word success. Because, so I'm going to reframe this. So remember past decisions that have led to happiness. I personally measure success with the level of happiness and, you know, because of my anxiety and OCD, like how calm my thoughts are. When I have a calm mind and I'm not ruminating, I'm not having obsessive thoughts, I'm not, you know, seeing intrusive thoughts like on a daily basis or to the point where it really affects or like obstructs my day, that is a quote unquote success to me. That makes me feel really happy. And so when I remember previous things that I've done that have made me happy, the best example ever, moving to Brooklyn, that was to me a success because it was the moment in time where I really, with certainty, took control over my life and said, Brooklyn, New York is a place where I can be free. And that was when, you know, I got my piercings, I got my tattoos, I dyed my hair white, and I really embraced like my inner bohemian, like my inner hippie spirit, my inner flower child. And I loved it. I mean, every time, like to this day, guys, every time I even like think about Brooklyn, like I work in Brooklyn right now. I still have the roommates that I lived with for so many years. Like they're still in Brooklyn. The word Brooklyn just means freedom, empowerment, and independence to me. And when I remind myself that I made that decision and it was the best decision ever, it gives me the clarity and the confidence and the happiness to go forth and make new decisions. And that helps me to overcome doubt. The third way to overcome doubt is to redefine the word failure. And so in the same way that I just helped to redefine the word success by saying just the amount of happiness that you felt from making a decision about something, when we are able to redefine the word failure, like right now, before I even go any further, just take a moment and think to yourself, what does that word failure mean to you? Does it make you feel a type of way? I mean, the word failure to me definitely made me feel a type of way. Like that word failure was such a heavy, like you might as well have just taken a brick and thrown it at my face. Like when I was in school, in college, even getting a B was like failure in my eyes, because to me, failure was anything less than perfect. But like newsflash to me and to you listening right now, perfection doesn't exist. And I really do sometimes hate when things, you know, when words or phrases or sayings become a cliche, because we all know that, right? Like you hear the word perfection and then, you know, we do think, okay, well, perfection is not attainable. Perfection doesn't exist. But when you are struggling with perfection, when you are struggling with self-doubt, when you are struggling with all of these thoughts, it just sounds like a really pretty quote on a Hallmark card or something that you hear in a Hallmark movie. right? It sounds like one of those things like, okay, sure, that might be true for other people. And it's a nice thought. You know, you kind of think of it as like a stuffed animal that you hug as like a little kid. And you're like, okay, well, when I grow up, the stuffed animal is not going to mean anything to me, or it might not mean as much, or whatever, right? Like we kind of put such a, this like fairy tale picture over certain thoughts and phrases and sayings like, oh, perfection doesn't exist. You're perfect just as you are. And then it does sometimes take away the value of that phrase. So I really hope that when you do fully understand that perfection is not something that is attainable, and instead of looking at it as this like fairy tale thought or like this Hallmark note, you really internalize it and you're like, okay, you know what? I understand and I totally love and accept myself for having once tried to be perfect. Even if it doesn't happen overnight, I choose today to look at the word perfection a little less heavy. I'm going to start taking some of that weight off of that word. And even if tomorrow I do something striving to fit perfection, I'm going to be kinder to myself to not let that be so heavy on me. And I think that when we start to, you know, even if we were to look at a house and say that like you're trying to take the house apart, you know, that the four walls that make a house around you as a person, all of the limiting beliefs and the things that were programmed into you, maybe they were lies, maybe they were not, you know, maybe they no longer serve you. Maybe someone taught you something that made sense for you when you were 17 and just doesn't make sense for you right now. So you're in this house alone with these four walls. And right now the task that we need to do is to basically take that house down so that you can either move or build your own house. And so if you're looking at that word perfection as this weight, this, you know, as heavy as a house, and we're taking each of the bricks down from the wall and we're taking and tearing down that house, start to take the heaviness off of that word perfection and really, really understand that perfection is, I think, you know, glorified in society, because really what society is trying to tell us is to just try, you know, like try harder to do things. Because sometimes I think this, right? Like if people didn't tell us about perfection, then society might fear that people would just get quote unquote lazy or like not do anything. So when we set these high standards and we set these high bars and we tell people like you have to be perfect, it's really society's fear that if we're not striving for something next, that we're not going to like progress. But there is a huge difference between perfection and setting goals. Like, if you're setting goals for yourself with very attainable, realistic, and yes, things that are, you know, going to push us towards achieving that goal and helping to make an impact in that. Whether it's a personal impact, like maybe your goal is to start your own business or to write a book that's going to help people, or at work you have goals to get that project in on time, or, you know, help your client in some way. In whatever we do in our personal and our professional lives, we're always going to be setting these goals. And if we're just boggled down by this word perfection, instead of just looking at it as, okay, well, I'm setting a goal for myself because I know that it's going to benefit me and or someone and or the company, then that's the driving motivating factor and it takes the pressure off. So when we're redefining this word failure, I'm going to use an example from when I interned at Target. We would never say failure or problem or whatever. Like my manager at the time would say area of opportunity. And like, if you take a moment and just think of the word failure, and it's got, again, like this very heavy negative connotation, failure, like, oh, you suck, everything sucks, you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Like it's all this negative, negative, negative. Think of the phrase, area of opportunity. Don't you just feel lighter hearing that? It's such a beautiful sentence. An area for opportunity, right? Because that means opportunity for what? To learn more about something, to make a more educated guess the next time around. Or, you know, an area of opportunity to learn something, to speak to someone new about something, to try again. It gives us the freedom to try again without feeling like you failed. I really want to emphasize this because as I was going through very, very dark times of my life that were so filled with depression, with anxiety, with doubt, with limiting beliefs, this right here was probably the single most important lesson that I taught myself through, you know, reading various self-help books and listening to podcasts and just like, you know, really tuning into this channel of people who, you know, helped me like reframe my way of thinking. Area of opportunity. I kept telling myself that I'm gonna keep trying. Like it is going to be this constant like trial and error, and there's no such thing as success and there's no such thing as failure. There are only lessons. And so I really want to help you see it in this way, like a mindset shift, because as soon as you lift that burden, again, like taking more bricks off of that house of this word failure and redefine it for you to say an area of opportunity, that's going to also help you with overcoming doubt. And so the second part is making yourself proud. And this goes back to the note that I left to myself, which was, you know, figure out what you want to do, feel what makes you happy. And that those two things right there are, you know, the most important like first steps, and deciding for yourself. That those are the most, it's they're really challenging in the way that you're gonna have to get really honest with yourself, and that can be really scary, and I understand that completely because I've been there. I promise you that with these reframing way of thinking, paired with support, so please know that I'm here as you're going through this, paired with the resources that are available to you, whether it's, again, through the form of a book or a podcast or an article that you're reading or a blog post, we can reach this place where we make ourselves proud and where what we once thought was, you know, this overbearing, like, I have to make my mom proud, my teacher proud, my sibling proud, my dad proud, like whoever it was in your life that right now is coming to mind, and you know who that person is. I might not be having a one-on-one talk with you right now, but as you're listening to this, you are thinking about that one person who was the most important person to you in your life and how you needed to be to please that person. Typically, again, it stems from early childhood. It's typically a mom figure or a dad figure who, in, you know, basically, again, programmed, we could use that word programmed, but basically gave us the blueprint of, you know, you're going to be the perfect son or daughter for me if you do these things. Or think about behavior and how it was rewarded. Were you allowed to be sad in your house? Were you allowed to feel overwhelmed? Were you allowed to, you know, quote unquote, make mistakes? Or what does that mean to you and your family? You know, were you constantly seen as making mistakes? And how does that make you feel now? So as you're thinking about these thoughts and asking yourself these questions, what makes me happy? What do I really want to do in life? What do I really like? Do I actually want to wear this outfit? Or was that someone else's voice? Like learning how to distinguish the voices in our head is also going to help us feel really proud. And so when we are able to decide for ourselves, there's this beautiful moment where in the similar way that I was talking about the ants traveling and making that path deeper just by walking through it, and it's a familiarity that it almost becomes second nature. The more often that we decide for ourselves, the more often that we do things that make us happy, the more often that we figure out what we want to do, it's going to become easier and easier to make these kinds of decisions in the future. And so you will be able to feel proud of yourself. And that, again, this is the whole point of this podcast, is to talk about the resilience of women who live with a mental illness every day and learn how to manage and how to overcome to become that resilient person. And recovery is possible. It is amazing how many people I'm meeting on Twitter and on social media, and now more and more in my everyday life, as I am being more and more vulnerable and talking about these things and talking about these issues with people, to hear how, you know, for example, in a previous Soul Chat episode with Savannah, how she wasn't speaking for the first, you know, 20 something years of her life because of social anxiety and just the fear of, you know, being with people and in front of people and talking to people. And she's a confidence coach now. And you know, hearing about other people on this podcast who have gone through other social anxieties and eating disorders and bipolar and depression, and are these empowering, encouraging, amazing women who one day, you know, who once, I should say, who once thought that they weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, you know, whatever the word is, enough to be where they are right now and to make the impact that they're making, they're doing it. So it is possible for you too. It really is. And we are all here as this community. That's also, you know, what I want to continue emphasizing more, is that this is a community of women supporting women. And we are all here. So even previous podcast guest speakers on Found Family, we are all here to support you on your journey. I am so happy to be here in 2020, which is crazy to even talk about 2020. I almost wrote 2010 somehow on a piece of paper the other day, which is like, I don't know how that happened, but you know, I am proud of myself. And that's why this episode means so much to me, because I felt so hopeless and so helpless. And I felt like there was so much inside of me that wanted to come out. I felt like there was this inner lion who was chained and, you know, was getting like that, the whip to not be able to roar. And there, she was just inside screaming, I have so much to share. I have so much to tell people. I have so much that I want to do, and such an impact I want to make on this world, but I'm too scared. And here I am with this podcast, and I'm studying to become a life coach. That's something I've wanted for 10 years. Like, I'm emotional just thinking about it. I've wanted that for 10 years, and here I am in 2020 making that happen. I'm taking my test next month. I started my Twitter page for my coaching practice. I started a Yelp page too, and I've gotten approached by people on Yelp seeking coaching services and seeking, you know, support and accountability. And I'm so proud of that. I am proud of my journey. I am proud of this podcast and what it's doing for me and for others. I am proud of the decisions that I've made that have led me here. And I'm so excited to see what the rest of 2020 and beyond has in store. And with that level of, you know, childlike giddiness, childlike admiration and awe of the world, that is part of what I am, you know, really breaking through and going into and stepping into this year and beyond. And that's one last thought that I want to share as we're coming to a close for this episode, is if you can just close your eyes right now and just think about a time, and it could be age 7, it could be last year, it could be, you know, whatever time frame. Bring yourself back, direct your thoughts and your emotions to a period of time where you felt that childlike giddiness, that feeling that you get on like Christmas Day or for those who don't celebrate Christmas, you know, unwrapping something on your birthday. And what did that feel like? How did that feel to be so giddy, to be so excited about opening up a present or getting something that you know that you've been patiently waiting for and it's right there in your hands? I want you to go back to that moment and really, like, in your being, feel that sense of childlike excitement and giddiness. And hold on to that feeling. And when you find yourself feeling doubtful and feeling scared and feeling afraid, remember how that felt and remember that you can recall that feeling whenever you want and take that feeling into the area of opportunity to look at yourself with compassion and with kindness and with patience, knowing for certain that things take time and that you are on your ant path. You're the little ants right now. You are on that path to creating new reframes of thinking to help make all of the things that you are feeling that you want to bring, you know, that lion inside of you. Go and meet that lion, set her free, and let her roar. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.